Thank you. One other, got little styrofoam pieces all over the pulpit now. One of the other announcements I was going to make mention of, and I'll probably do it again and repeatedly over the winter months. Normally, our routine has been in the winter as a church that if the thermometer gets below 10, we stay home. We don't have services, or if there is snow to the point that the sheriff's department and whatnot is recommending that people not be on the roads, we have canceled services. And a lot of times we're more that be conservative or conservative in that regard, just because I know that there's a few that come from a distance and that would come even if they perhaps shouldn't. And so we've been pretty conservative in canceling our services. Well, this year, obviously COVID has changed a lot of things, and we're able to do things more from home. And again, I guess I'll express the point that joining from home really isn't the point of church. Literally, by definition, church or ekklesia is the Greek word that has the idea of called out assembled ones. And it really is not conducive as far as church goes to do this remotely. Church really is something that is to be together, and all the one another's are accomplished together. But that being said, obviously COVID has had us not changing what God's word says about ecclesia, but certainly changing how we do that or are able to do that. And as such, we had a number of weeks where it was just my wife and kids that were here when churches really weren't allowed to even be gathered at all. It was about a month and a half or so. So with that being said, the chances are any bad weather this year will probably still have church services. I guess I get no snow days this winter. And we'll leave it up to you whether or not you would like to come. The doors will be open. I guess we will try to keep you posted on Facebook. If we get a lot of snow or if there's ice or whatnot, we may not, or it's more than likely will not, have all the sidewalks and parking lot cleared and all that. And so if you do come, realize that you may be pulling into a unplowed parking lot and trudging through however deep the snow is. A winter wonderland. We may have it shoveled from, the sidewalk up the ramp to the door. But if you want to come, you can come. And so that may change our standing order in the past as far as winter goes. And so certainly if you're local, we encourage you to come. Is our internet quitting, or is anybody commenting? What do you mean?
Well, it was fine.
Oh. Oh. All right. Well, if I look like I've paused, I may have actually just paused if you're watching from home. I may just be lost for a word, and we'll just go with that. It may or may not be our internet. It may just be me. But we want to go to Ephesians chapter 3 here this morning, and this is ironically where we started the year, and as we conclude the year, we want to go back to the same passage, look at it again, and then as well, this time last year, or it may have been the first Sunday of January last year, or I guess this year, we not only looked at Ephesians chapter 3, but we gave some goals that we had for 2020, most of which were set aside because, again, our lives changed for 2020 that we didn't anticipate. But I wanted to go back to Ephesians chapter 3. I don't normally repeat anything, but I think it's worthy of noting in Ephesians chapter 3, when we last looked at this passage, we had no idea what 2020 was going to be all about. We had no idea all the details that we'd be facing as a society, as a nation, as ultimately as the world. This isn't, COVID is not just an American thing. It's not a conspiracy. It's not a Republican versus Democrat thing. COVID is a real thing. It's a virus that has impacted the entire world, and I know that many nations are are getting hit again with big surges and what do you call that, where it's been modified, which should not surprise us. In my opinion, it makes me question the validity of a vaccine, as like the flu vaccine. You just guess what the strain is going to be. And I'm guessing it's going to be the same way with this COVID virus as it kind of mutates. Again, a virus is a living organism. It's going to do whatever it can, as we do, to survive. And so as more and more get it, and as more things combine with it, it will just continue to change. And so 2021, truthfully, I hate to say this, but truthfully may not be any different than 2020, except for this. We won't be in ignorance for January and February. we will begin January 1st with an understanding that this is where we are, and we'll see what happens from there. But Ephesians chapter 3, about verse 4, it mentions the mystery of Christ, and Paul spoke often about the mysteries that we have in Christ. What that literally had the idea of is that it was something that, as we look backwards, in hindsight, we could probably see it hinted at in the Old Testament, but it wasn't necessarily proclaimed in the Old Testament. And as Paul presents these mysteries, basically he's grabbing from the old and saying, see, here's what we knew to that point, but here's what it is today. Here's how this works out. And certainly the reality of the cross changed everything. And so there was a mystery that was involved. This mystery here in Ephesians chapter 3, which often was the case in Paul's mystery, was the reality of Gentiles being a part of ultimately the redemptive plan of God, which, again, we go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. We see a hint of that. And throughout, yeah, I think David even mentions a few times about Gentiles seemingly being a part of. And so it was hinted at. But the possibilities of how is that going to happen, how is that going to work, was unknown until now, in real time, Ephesians chapter 3 time frame. And so we have a mystery being expounded in Ephesians chapter 3, but it begins, well, my verse here this morning, or verse is, we begin in verse 14, it says, for this cause, we jump back to verse 1 of chapter 3, it starts the exact same way, for this cause. And again, I want us to bring us all the way from chapter 1 up to this cause. What was this cause? And we can see a lot of points leading up to this. Ephesians chapter 1 has the normal verses 1 and 2, Paul's normal greeting. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I think if I could sum it up, I think verse 4 is this cause that is mentioned in verses 1 and 14 of chapter 3. The very reality that we are chosen in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, for that cause. And then Paul expounds on the mystery of the Gentiles being a part of chapter 1, verse 4, and then returns to it and expounds on our unity involved in Ephesians chapter 3. Chapter 2 begins, and again, not often, you don't usually start a sentence, much less a new chapter, with a conjunction, and. Obviously, Paul didn't write in chapter and verse. We did that later. But, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Again, that goes back to chapter 1, verse 4. He hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Verses 11 through 22 of chapter 2. Wherefore remember that ye being in the past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Side note, we drove to Peoria yesterday, and we were discussing, on the way, I don't even remember why we brought this up, but we were discussing mental health and the very reality of this is my opinion, but I know I'm not the only one with this opinion. I think it's biblically based, that the whole push for mental health today is a, what is the word I use? Not a facade. It's a scam, ultimately. There is nothing about, there is no health and mental, if you could say it that way. What goes on in our mind is not something that can be diagnosed by science, or not something that can be fixed by science. The way we think is not changed by a prescription. The way we think is not changed by a reprogramming ourselves. We are not like Pavlov's dog, although many times I think a lot of times science, so-called, begins to treat us as if we're no different than Pavlov's dog. Here's this trigger. Now you, from that trigger, you need to be doing and acting and thinking this way. Well, that's not how our minds work. We know from the verse I just read, and then as well from many others, the Colossians chapter 1 makes it very clear that before Christ, even the thoughts of our mind were enemies of God. And so every single one of us was born with a mind that did not function the way it ought to function. And Paul kind of alludes to this in a very broad way as far as us for Gentiles. Not only was our mind not functioning as it ought to because of sin, but the very reality of the whole of circumcision and not circumcision, the fact that we were aliens, the fact that we were enemies of our God, as Paul again for Colossians would state, even in our thinking, we were enemies of God. But what a reminder, what a precious reminder Ephesians has for us to remind us that even as Gentiles and even as enemies, even as in our mind, I guess we could say with this, all of us were born with mental illness. We want to use that catchphrase today. And it's that the remedy is not a prescription bottle. The remedy is not a reprogramming. The remedy was Christ. And I'm not to exclude the fact that there's a lot of neurological things and things, and I mentioned that yesterday. There's a reason, there's a need for neurosurgeons. There's a need for those who specialize in the neural aspect of our brains and how the synaptic things are sent in our brains. Sometimes things get miswired, and physically that needs to get changed, and I understand that. But our way of thinking began at birth wrong. And the only way to correct that has been and has only ever been Christ. And for us Gentiles, we were excluded from the remedy as far as it seemed from the Old Testament times, but because of the cross and the mystery that Paul's going to expound in chapter 3, we're included in the remedy. We can have not only our way of thinking changed, we can be renewed in our minds, but as well the very reality of the consequence of our sin has been taken care of as well. So then we come to chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Jumping again to verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. I want to look again at three points that I made a year ago, and our lives turned completely upside down. In fact, majority of 2020, the sermon series adjusted to how do we deal with chaos. And for most of this year, then, that has been the segment of our study. How do we deal with chaos when things went upside down? Well, I find it amazing that we started the year in Ephesians chapter 3, and my point in going over it again is to remind us this didn't change. Our outlook, our life, our society, our world, our nation literally turned upside down in 2020, but this didn't change. And we can't excuse our environment, we can't excuse our scenario, we can't excuse our, well, we can't do this, we can't do that, we can't do this other thing. We can't, there's no excuse, we'll say it that way. There's no excuse for not still living out the truths that we have from Ephesians chapter 3. Our society will always be in change. We know that. In fact, we know it's going to be waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But the truths of God's word are always true and always right. And what a reminder as we look quickly back at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. I just read it. We need to have a focus on power, that you would grant you according to the riches of his glory. I've depicted, I think a year ago, but as well often, the differences in words in the Greek. And this word according to, even in our English, makes a big difference. According to versus of, if you recall. It could have said that he would grant you of the riches of his glory. But when we are according to, it is not of the overflow, it's not of the excess, it is of the essence of it. And so as we look at that, he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. One of the things that I've had to study this year from my classes is Keswick theology and the errors of Keswick theology. And one of their teachings, and it's amazing how many hymns in our hymnal even present this out. And I'll often point that out to my wife. Oh, yeah, that song is obviously, and some of them I know because they actually were leaders in the Keswick movement, are sometimes hymn writers, and some of their hymns are in our hymnal. And the thinking is that in God, we move up kind of like flights in a building. You've hit the first floor, then you hit the second floor, then you hit the third floor, and as you go up each flight of stairs, you're obviously getting higher and higher and higher. You're reaching a new destination. Well, the thinking goes in Christianity, according to Keswick theology to an extent, that God offers us this essence of himself, but we've got to climb the stairs to get it. And so you got to do this to get to this point, and then you got to do a little more to get to this point, and a little more to get to this point. And I know there's a lot of hymns that mention this, and the thought in and of itself is not wrong. But the thinking is I have to put my all on the altar before I truly can grasp who God is. That's technically not biblical. At the moment of our salvation, we're not given a percentage of Christ, and he turns up the dial as we do good, and he turns it back down as we do bad. That's not how salvation works. At the moment of our salvation, we were given all of Christ. We were given all that we needed. We are given a grace that is sufficient, and meaning it is overflowing. We are given the reality of Christ and not a dialed-down portion of it. It wasn't a so that, well, you haven't earned all of me yet, and let's see how this works out in your life. No, we were given all of Christ. All that we will ever need here on this earth, we were given in that instant of our moment of our salvation. It is not about laying our all so that we can get more of him. It's about understanding that there's sin in my life that keeps me from knowing all of him, if you can follow that connection. We don't get more. We just need to see more of what we already have. So when we come to verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, this is not about reaching another level. It's not about an excess. It's not about a dial being turned up as we live more righteous lives. This is about the reality of an understanding of the fullness that we have according to, not of, but according to who he is and of that power. A focus on power. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. That you might be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. The strength is not something that we have to muster in and of ourselves. It's amazing that we would go over this passage and then we would be hit with a virus that would do what? Zap people's strength from them. It's amazing that we went over Ephesians chapter 3 and this year, how many of us acknowledge, I am just tired of this. It's amazing that we would go over this verse the beginning of 2020, and we would be hit with a virus, and we'd be hit with politicians, we'd be hit with executive orders that would require us to close down our churches, that would require us no longer to be gathering together, whether it be here or anywhere else, except Walmart has always been, for whatever reason, allowed. It's amazing that we looked at verse 16 and focused on a focus on power. And I recall pointing out the fact that we are strengthened with might by His Spirit, not by our own desire, not by our own zeal, not by our own physical ability, but by His Spirit we were strengthened and are strengthened. And that didn't change because of 2020. That didn't change because of a virus. That didn't change because of politics. That didn't change because of conspiracies. That doesn't change ever. We are strengthened by His might, period. And we need to be reminded of that. And 2020 didn't change that. But I can guarantee us that for too many of us within Christianity, within Christendom, if we could say it that way, we lost the evidence of God's power in our lives because we pushed for our own strength instead of His. We lost the evidence of God's might being evident in my life, in our lives, because we wanted to do it. We had to do this. We had to accomplish this. We had to beat this. And ultimately, we lost the point of Ephesians chapter 3. We're to be strengthened in His might. That's the source of our strength. And that didn't change this year. We're tired. Michelle's recovering, and she's exhausted. Her physical strength has been zapped from her, whatever word you want to use. But that doesn't change the source of our true strength. Physical strength may change and will. This kind of strength, that is a reality of the mystery of Christ, that is a reality of for this cause, which goes all the way back to chapter 1, verse 4, according as He hath chosen us with Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. It's because of that that we have His strength within us. Not a dialed down version of it. We have it maxed out. We just need to see it. We need to live it. We need to claim it. We need to understand it. How did we learn more about God's power in our lives this year, in 2020? I can tell you we learned about our own weaknesses. I can tell you we learned about our own insufficiencies. I can tell you perhaps we even learned a little bit about our frustration levels and our anger and the size of our fuses, I bet, this year. But I'm wondering, how well did we learn about God's might within us this year? That didn't change in 2020. Continuing on, verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Let's stop right there. Not only a focus on power, but a focus on comfort. That Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? The word here in verse 17 that says dwell is actually a compound word that not only denotes that aspect of dwelling, of a residence, but of that idea of comfort. It's amazing, especially Christmas time, as you perhaps visit family. There's a certain level of comfort in the family members' homes as compared to visiting in a neighbor's home or certainly compared to visiting in a stranger's home. There's a level of comfort. How you are able to relax, how you're able to let your guard down, how you're able to goof around and joke and have fun. And certainly you're not on edge, I would hope. I guess some people maybe are, as they're with family, but the hope would be that there would be a comfort level. But I would also dare say, and I would hope this would always be the case, that our comfort levels are never the same as when we are in our own home. As I'm getting older, and certainly, again, 2020 changed this as well, but so getting older, and, you know, when you're younger, being gone and staying in a motel, there's something exciting about staying in a motel, and there's a swimming pool, and breakfast downstairs, and just the amazing reality of we're staying in a motel. We're going somewhere and staying in a motel. Well, as I get older, I think to myself, why am I going to be paying to sleep in a bed that is not my own? I can stay home, and it's so much more comfortable, and our mattress is old, and it's lumpy, and it really is in great need of being replaced, but there's something comfortable about it's my bed. And it's getting harder and harder to spend, and it doesn't help that the rates keep going higher and higher. Now it's a rarity to find a motel room for under $100. Spend more than $100 for one night to sleep in a bed that I'm not going to sleep in, be restless in. And there's the lack of the comfort. Now, obviously, on certain trips, you have to. And I'm also thankful for my father-in-law, who provides many motels for us as we travel for free. And it's so much more comfortable then. You're not laying in bed thinking, I spent $127 and I can't sleep. Well, it's free. And somehow you can rest more easily in that regard. But nonetheless, a focus on comfort. Dwell. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Now again, remember Paul is expounding on a mystery. What was the mystery? The mystery is that we as Gentiles are a part of the redemptive plan of God. And what Paul is pointing out is, hey, even as a Gentile, Christ is able to dwell in your hearts. Number one, he's able to give you power that is his power, not your own. Gentile, that's a mystery. You didn't have that ability before. Can you imagine before the cross as a Gentile, we had no even hope or means of understanding the power of Christ in our life? Because of the cross, Paul says, all right, Gentiles, you can know this. All of your ancestors before this moment did not, but you can. And it's amazing how in the first point here, the focus on power, how often it is that even we within Christianity, Gentile Christianity, that we lose sight of the blessing that we have to know that there is a strength within us that is far greater than our own. Not every Gentile knows that. And before the cross, it's a rarity that a Gentile knew that. But we were chosen before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And the mystery is that includes us, which means we can live out a focus on power that we couldn't have done before. We can live out a focus on comfort. Christ will dwell within you. Now, certainly, again, our comfort levels have been changed. Our comfort levels have changed over 2020, we become creative with our masks, and all of us in our family now have numerous masks. We bought Matt's got several firefighter masks, so we didn't bother with his masks. But we bought the younger three kids' masks, and what was funny is after we bought them, we heard on the radio somebody commenting, mocking the fact of, could you imagine somebody putting masks as Christmas presents or stocking and stuff? Or could you imagine? We're like, we did. Oh, hopefully our kids won't mind. But, you know, there's a lot of discomfort in masks. It's an annoyance, in my opinion. Although I can admit that in certain places, especially as we were visiting in Wisconsin, there is a warming aspect of a mask, but it's amazing how inconvenient at times that those masks can be. Or you start walking into a store and then remember, left my mask in the car. You can go back and get it. And all the inconveniences, the lack of comfort that we once had. But again, this isn't about our comfort. The question that could be asked about 2020 is, have we lived out the reality of an indwelling God within us in 2020? That we have lived out such a life that is a reminder to us that God resides within us. I can tell you this, when COVID first came to our nation, and as states after state were beginning to close down churches, and Christians were beginning to respond in various and assorted ways, and again, rights and freedoms aside, I think there was a lot of decisions, a lot of statements, and a lot of actions that were made that were based on my comfort, our comfort, humanity's comfort, instead of the very reality of who our God is. 2020 did not change that point, did not change that truth. A focus on comfort, not our comfort. But the very fact that our God, and the word there in dwelling, has the idea of me dwelling in my own home and the comfort that's involved with that, that cannot be duplicated anywhere else on the face of the earth. There is something comfortable about being home. Have we understood and lived out the very reality that our God dwells within us? And how often our actions do not make it comfortable for him? Because our actions are not reflecting him, but they're reflecting me. If 2020 did something this year, it pointed that out in our hearts. How often our decisions are based on me not on the reality of an indwelling God that lives within me, if I'm his child. An indwelling God that lives within me. And how that ought to change our decisions and our action. Again, I'm not getting into the politics of it. I'm not getting in about our rights and standing up for them and the privileges that we have to be an American under that flag. And certainly there's specifics that are involved as a citizen of this nation. But that still being said, even as we stand for rights, stand for freedom, stand for liberty, stand for justice, there is a way that needs to be, we need to do it in such a way that it's still evidencing the reality of an indwelling God within us. And it's not just about me. 2020 didn't change that. It may have exposed it, but it didn't change that. Lastly, if we continue on verse 17. That Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now again, back to Keswick, there's one of their catch verses to use, one of their proof texts. Ultimately, let me say it this way. We need to have, thirdly, a focus on love, that you would be able to comprehend the extent of God's love. And that we'd be able to understand, which is really ultimately the point. Again, verse 18. That you may be able to what? Comprehend. It's not that we can gain it. It's not that we, again, that the dial is getting turned up. But it's that we might be able to understand it, that we might be able to comprehend it, that we might be able to know it, that we might be able to see it, that we might be able to understand that within us is the reality of, as it literally says there, the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height of the love of God for us. And that is dwelling within us, verse point two, and giving us the power within us, the first point, to be able to live out his love within us. And how important that is. According to the power of God through faith, we are able to understand the love of our God in us and through us. That is always overflowing. Verse 19, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that exceeds our knowledge. Imagine that. It could be said this way. When you think you've understood the love of God, we still have much more to learn. Again, the focus, verse 18, is the comprehension of it. Not that we need to earn more of it, but we need to comprehend more of it. And that we might be able to comprehend the very reality of that fulfillment, the fullness of God that is already within us. Again, the first part of verse 17. What a reminder of who our God is in his love. But what a reminder it is for us that we ought to be constantly about the focus of comprehending to a greater extent the love of God for us and being able to live out to a greater extent the love of God within us. Point, I guess, is this. Next Sunday, Lord willing, we will consider a challenge for the new year. And Lord willing, the last December of 2021, we may review it. And again, we have no idea, as I preach next week's sermon, again, Lord willing, what 2021 will hold for us. We don't even have a guarantee that we will be here by December. But that's an interesting reminder that as we conclude this year, right where we started this year, we can see how our world has changed since we first discussed this, but the truths of God's word have not. They are just as true January 1st, 2020, as they are here on the last Sunday of 2020, even though every conceivable reality that we thought we understood has been deleted or turned upside down on us here in this year. A focus on power, not ours, but his. A focus on comfort, not ours, but ultimately his indwelling within us. A focus on love, not necessarily ours, but his, that it might be evidence, that it might be flowing out of us. I guess I didn't read the last verse, last two. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, again, according to the power that worketh in us. It goes right back to verse 16. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. Through the time frame of COVID, however long that may last, through the time frame of suffering, through the time frame of politics, through the time frame of this, that, and the other thing, through all ages, world without end, amen. Do we grasp that? Do we have that kind of a focus? Now, a quick review. I've got a couple minutes here. Some goals that we had that we discussed, and I somewhat chuckled because, sadly, I don't know that we hit really any of our goals this year. And as I prayerfully consider some goals for this coming year, and we'll discuss those probably, Lord willing, next week, it's a reminder that we can set goals, how does the verse go, but God sets the course. But it's always still good to have goals. And some of these I think we still could have done. But I think we all, myself included, lost sight of these goals because of we were trying to keep up with what our requirements were and all the other. I can say this before we even begin. One thing that we did change that I did not anticipate, but I'm thankful that we were able to do, was obviously this, being able to be online in a way that we weren't before, which enabled us then to be able to be shut down and continue to have service. I think we were the only church, I think perhaps even in our county, that continued to have every Sunday had a service, even though there was nobody here. There were other churches that, a pastor was in his dining room and gave a short, devotional of sorts. But we had the full service every Sunday this year, right from here. I think it was one Sunday we were gone, and so it was more online. But nonetheless, I think that's great and how we were able to get that accomplished. And some expenses involved. The church had some. We had more. But how it worked out, and I'm thankful for that. Something that we didn't plan on, but we were able to get accomplished. But as far as our goals for this last year, we had attendance in 2019. We had 10 weeks that were over 25 people. We were hoping for a goal of 12. We didn't hit that. We didn't come close to that. In fact, a lot of weeks again, about 2 months worth, it was me and my wife and 3 kids were all that were here in this building. And so as our attendance goes, we have weeks of 5, 5, 5, 5, 5. And certainly that's how that worked. But anyway, certainly a good attendance. One thing that we did, and I was listening back to, somehow I don't have my notes from the service when we gave the goals. So I watched the video. And one of the things that was funny when I was talking about the attendance, I literally said on that Sunday, I mentioned that Mary had been the only one that was on the site for a number of weeks the year before, 2019. And I mentioned that it'd be nice to be able to get more people on Mary's side and kind of joking. And it's interesting that the Millers started coming more faithfully, and they would sit on this side. And then Michelle and Michael would come, and they were sitting on this side. And here we have even Mary in her absence. We have this side being filled, which is great. Not filled, I guess, redefine that, being used. But that was kind of an interesting, certainly we haven't been sitting in the back saying, or standing in the back saying, please sit on this side. just interesting how that worked out. As far as some cards we had intended on doing the I'm Thankful That God Is, and we wanted to do 15 per quarter. I think we got the first quarter done. And we haven't had any meals since then because of COVID, which is when we would often do this in the basement. And so it really hasn't been conducive for doing I Am Thankful That God Is. But we also wanted to do prayer list cards, and we were going to have those printed at B&B, I believe. And when a prayer request was added to our prayer list, we wanted to send out, with the exception of obviously if we're praying for a doctor's appointment that's on Tuesday, we're not going to get them a card before Tuesday in most cases. But when it's an ongoing, certainly Annette and Don Hessen and those kind of prayer requests that we've had, and the Carol and others that don't have an immediate yay or nay in the next 2 days, we had a desire of sending out them a card. Not that we'd all sign it, but that'd just be from the church saying, hey, we've added you to our prayer list. I would really like to move that to this year's goal and get those cards printed and to be able to do that. We wanted to send out, I think it was 100 of them. And hopefully we can work on that here this year. Again, for many weeks, we were, like today, very low attendance or no attendance, and even our prayer requests were difficult to come by for a while. some building projects that we had, some that we had already voted on, was getting the flashing around the door finished, the ramp stain, which the Miller family did, so that was a blessing. The door over here, more secured, and then as well some security cameras. Other than the ramp, we didn't get any of those done, but we also weren't really spending any extra money that we, if we could avoid spending it, we were trying to do that, just because we never knew week to week what was coming in when very few were coming here. We also wanted to do something on the new property next door. When I say new, that's getting to be like, what, 5 years now, our property of several years. I want to do something along those lines, and I still would like to be able to use what has already been donated, plus what from Mrs. Dustin's funeral, to be able to use that for that property in that regard. Other projects that we have is the gravel in the parking lot, sidewalk along the building, this door making it more of like a steel door, not just one you could kick through. ADA compliant ramp in the near future, the furnace room window, a northeast exterior doors, those doors, right? No, northeast would be this door, making that a more secure door, the out exterior door. And a basement restroom has been an ongoing goal, although that may never get accomplished. None of those were done, but yet with reason. And I think it would have been a wrong time to do that. We're spending that kind of money anyway. Outreach ministries, the ones that we had already on the schedule, Old Settlers, National Night Out, which got canceled, Halloween, Christmas Walk, Lions Club meetings. For the most part, many of those were either canceled or severely adjusted. We were able to do Halloween. National Night Out got canceled. And as such, the parade, or was the parade canceled? It happened, but you couldn't hand out anything. So our normal handing out bags and whatnot, that wasn't going to work. Lions Clubs have been canceled. We're going to add this year some recognitions at the National Night Out for the police, fire, and ambulance. Obviously, that was canceled, so we didn't do that. We also wanted to do meals and cards for the teachers in the fall. We wound up doing meal or gift cards, I think, to the ambulance instead in the spring, kind of as a thank you to their response in the COVID aspect. But anyway, here's our 4 points that we had for our goals for 2020. And sadly, I can stand here and say, yeah, we did do that. We didn't accomplish it. But the very reality is while 2020 certainly changed those goals, it didn't change that. We still have a focus on power, a focus on comfort, a focus on love, not ours in all cases, but in His in all cases. And may that be our reality. As we close, let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you again for 2020 and all the surprises, all the events that you allowed in our lives here this year. Certainly do pray for those that are dealing with COVID, certainly those families that went through Christmas without a loved one because of COVID. Politicians, not just in the state of Illinois and in our entire nation, but politicians around the world as they are dealing with this virus and lives being lost and people being impacted. I just pray that you just direct and lead in those decisions, certainly in the pharmaceutical companies that are trying to come up with solutions, and certainly we acknowledge that you are ultimately in control, and we thank you for that. But I pray that you'd remind us that come what may, that we'd be rooted in you, that we be reminded to live such a life that, as Ephesians 1:4 points out, that we would walk worthy ultimately of your love, of your goodness, of your righteousness, regardless of what comes. We thank you for that mystery that we as Gentiles are able to be a part of the redemptive plan, and I thank you for that. And I pray that you would challenge us in the reality of your word to remind us that environment and society and viruses don't change truth, but just make it more important for us to live it out. And I pray that you direct us accordingly. In Jesus' name, amen.